power threat off the bench for the Cardinals, and there's a fly ball back in a deep right center field. Lorenzo Cain got it at the wall! Lorenzo Cain to end the game! Not today, Cesar! Not today!
Unbelievable.
It didn't take long, did it? Didn't take long. Game one, he saves the game. That would have been a homer.
Boy, how about that? What a way to end it.
Wow.
Lorenzo Cain, former Royal. Boy, I kind of still wish he was a Royal. Not kind of, I do. He was one of my favorite players when he was healthy. Lorenzo Cain, as you just heard, a game-ending home run robbery against the Cardinals. It ended the game. It was two outs in the top of the ninth in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's opening day game. 4-3 was the score. No, 5-4. Brewers are up 5-4, and a big swing off of Josh Hader. Looked like the game was tied, and guess what? Lorenzo Cain goes up and grabs it, hauls it back in, not only to save the home run and prevent it, but the final out of the ball game. Mike Moustakas, by the way, now plays second base for the Milwaukee Brewers, which just seems weird for him to play second, but that's what the Brewers are doing, and the Brewers win yesterday over the Cardinals 5-4. And then the team that we really care about here locally, they get it done yesterday as well after about a two-hour rain delay.
Witt wanted to go. Mondesi hits it to the gap, and Pelka can't cut it off. And Adalberto Mondesi is on pace for 324 triples this year.
Yeah, I think that pace will slow down just a little bit. I'm not good at my predictions here during March Madness, but I think I feel pretty safe in saying that out loud. Royals win yesterday 5-3 over the White Sox. Brad Keller was fantastic. Some amazing numbers about his start yesterday. And the Royals bullpen tried to give it away in the ninth inning when they were up 5-0. 5-3, bases loaded. And Brad Boxberger, thank God we picked that guy up. Gets one out on three pitches. As the Royals survived a scare and they win, they get today off. So we know the Royals are in first place and they're undefeated and they'll stay undefeated through today. More on the Royals coming up in a moment. Plus we'll review other things that happened opening day in baseball. Plus the Sweet 16 last night and more Sweet 16 matchups this evening. That's coming up in just a bit. But first, local sports, San Dusty.
Yeah, the Beloit track and field teams opened out their season yesterday at the Republic County Buff Invite. The Beloit boys finished in first place, 158 points to Smoky Valley in second with 142. Smoky Valley girls took first place with 148 to 140 for Beloit in second. We'll go through the gold medal winners for Beloit, and you can find complete results from the Buff Invite at ncksports.com. Gold medal wins for Beloit boys, Vincent Pollin in the long jump and triple jump, also Creighton Johnson in the discus. Colin Chandler in the shot put, 4x400-meter relay team, Hudson Gray, Tristan Brummer, Trace McQueen, and Zach Meyer finished in first place as well. Then gold medals on the girls' side, Haley Burks in the 3,200-meter, Hallie Budke in the high jump, Kendall Bogner in the triple jump, Avery Johnson shot put, and Sage Prohaska in the discus. Again, those are your gold medal winners and finishes for Beloit yesterday at track and field in Belleville, the Buff Invite. Also yesterday, the Beloit Trojan baseball team was competing in a doubleheader opening out NCAA league play against Ellsworth. Tough 8-7 loss in the first game to the Bearcats, and then Ellsworth wins the second game 12-2-5. So Beloit, an 0-4 start to the season, 0-2 in the league as Ellsworth improved to 2-2 and 2-0 in the NCAA there yesterday in Beloit. Also softball yesterday in Sylvan Grove. Sylvan Lucas Lincoln swept by Cheney. Cheney wins the first game 7-1 and 15-4. In game two. Again, for all the latest in local sports, you can always find out your team's favorite team schedules and everything like that. Latest news at ncksports.com.
So the Royals are over 500 for the first time since August of 2017. They're 1-0. That's
fun.
That's above 500. Brad Keller was fantastic yesterday, 7 scoreless innings. And Keller says a little nervous early, but he settled in. Boy, did he ever.
It was just getting back in the routine. You know, the anticipation of the first pitch or the first inning was definitely there. But once I got out of the first inning, then it was just kind of back to a regular game. So I just kind of, you know, take some breaths and calm down a little bit.
Ned Yost, what do you think of his opening day starter?
I guess I forget because I've been doing it so long. I want to get it over with. I want to get opening day over with. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to our players. And it's a lot of extra stress, you know, on our starting pitchers. And to do it for the first time in your career at his age, with his experience, 1 year of experience in the big leagues, and to put forth the effort and the performance that he put forth today was, I mean, unbelievable. We kind of expected that from him because that's who he is. I mean, we just think that he's going to be a legit number one for us for years to come. But still, it's a tough draw, and the weather doesn't help, and, he handled it beautifully.
Brad Keller's 23 years old. He's the youngest American League starter to win on opening day since Felix Hernandez in 2009. That's 10 years ago. Here's another one. Follow that up. At age 23, Keller is the youngest pitcher in Major League Baseball to toss seven or more shutout innings on opening day since Clayton Kershaw in 2011, which is 8 years ago. So a terrific start to the season of Brad Keller. And can you believe somebody let him go in the Rule 5 draft? Remember the Royals had Whit Merrifield exposed in the Rule 5 draft not once but twice, and nobody grabbed Whit Merrifield. Whit extended his hitting streak to 21 games. He had two stolen bases. Remember, he won the stolen base crown last year with 45. His biggest competition might be his teammate, Adalberto Mondesi, who had the two triples, and he and Tony Peña Jr. had two triples opening day back in 2007 as the Royals get it done yesterday, 5-3 over the White Sox, and at game two of that series will be tomorrow, and then they'll continue into Sunday against the Chicago White Sox. So the Royals winning yesterday. Also, some records were set with the L.A. Dodgers hitting homer after homer after homer.
There's a fly ball to left field. Well hit, on its way, and gone, a home run. Kike Hernandez, a two-run shot. And the Dodgers now have a 5-0 lead over Greinke and the Diamondbacks.
Dodgers, 8 home runs. That's an opening day record over Arizona. Dodgers win. Mets shut out the Nationals 2-0. Yankees win over the Orioles 7-2. We mentioned Milwaukee over St. Louis 5-4. Phillies beat the Braves 10-4. Detroit shuts out Toronto 2-0. Houston knocks off Tampa Bay 5-1. Cubs all over Texas 12-4. Oakland shuts out the Angels 4-0. Cincinnati over Pittsburgh 5-3. San Diego, Manny Machado making his debut. They shut out the Giants 2-0. Colorado wins at Miami 6-3. Minnesota shuts out Cleveland 2-0. And the Dodgers all over the D-backs 12-5 behind those 8 homers. And Boston, the defending World Series champion, their season's over already. They lost yesterday 12-4 to Seattle. I'm joking, of course, but there usually is that World Series or Super Bowl hangover that we see in sports. And that could certainly be the case with the Red Sox, but we shall see. They still have quite a bit of talent. So Major League Baseball season is underway, and now we'll have baseball all the way to, end of October with the playoffs. So it'll be it's a marathon, not a sprint, but the Royals with a nice start to the season. Remember last year they started 3-14 and lost their first game 14-7 and gave up 6 homers on opening day to the White Sox. College basketball, some fun games. Even though KU and K-State not alive, there is one Big 12 team that's moving on.
And the Texas Tech Red Raiders, picked 7th in the Big 12 preseason poll, are now one of just 8 teams remaining in this tournament for the second year in a row. Texas Tech is going back to the Elite Eight.
Texas Tech manhandles Michigan last night in the Sweet 16. Their defense was just absolutely unbelievable. Chris Beard, head coach, talks about the win.
We just beat a really good team, one of the best teams we played all year in Michigan. Thought our guys were dialed in. We guarded at a high level. We played team basketball tonight. We played, I think, 8 players in the rotation tonight. Everybody made contributions, and I've always thought that was the key. You know, in March, everybody has to play well.
Tech wins 63-44. Virginia won 53-49 over Oregon. Those were the late games last night. Gonzaga, a ho-hum win over Florida State, 72-58. The game of the night was Purdue and Tennessee. It went to overtime.
Tennessee fought back from down 18 to force overtime, but Purdue is able to get the victory, and they are off to the Elite Eight for the first time since the year 2000 with a 99-94 win over the Tennessee Volunteers.
I'm going to say it. I hate the Boilermakers. They just did knock out the team that I had in the Final Four. Okay, it's all right.
They did it to me the last round, so it was your turn.
It was my turn. Now I'll mess up everybody that picked Virginia because that's who Purdue plays next in the Elite Eight. It's awesome to see Gene Katie in the stands. Of course, got his start in coaching at Beloit High School. Mm-hmm. And he's a Hall of Famer. It was really cool to see him in the stands cheering on Purdue. It was interesting. My 12-year-old, I said, that's Gene Katie. My son's like, I know. I see the bench every day going to school. I know who he is, Dad. And then like 2 minutes later, he's cheering for Tennessee. I'm like, what? He's wearing Purdue garb.
Yeah.
So my kid acted like he knew everything, and then he didn't know everything. So it was kind of funny. So Gonzaga wins over Florida State. Purdue beats Tennessee 99-94 in overtime. As you heard, Tennessee was down 18, came back, had the lead. To me, the story of the game is Ryan Klein. I mean, yeah. That kid couldn't miss. He was making tough three after tough three. Tennessee get up three a couple occasions. He'd hit a three right back the other way. Then there was, you know, the foul call at the end of the game when Tennessee's up two and Purdue had 2.5 seconds. They threw it in to Carson Edwards in the corner for three. You know, when I first saw it, I didn't think it was a foul. I've seen other replay angles showing that, yeah, it might have been a foul. But, you know, it's interesting that usually officials swallow their whistles and they won't make a call on that. They'll let that play out. And Purdue didn't even react like it. They thought it was even a foul. And I thought when he put that up, the game was over. He either make it and they win or he miss it and they lose. They called the foul. And then I'm like, okay, I don't want to see a guy. It's funny because during that timeout before that play, I told my oldest son, I said, this has been a fun game to watch. I said, please don't let it end in controversy. Just let somebody decide this thing. And then what do you know? There's the foul. And I'm like, okay, please don't let Carson Edwards make all three because that decided the game. Was an official's call at the end. And he missed the first. And when he missed the first, even though I'm cheering for Tennessee, he missed the first. I really, for his sake, wanted him to make the last two.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine all the – I told my son, I said, you know, all these years you practice free throws. And then it comes down to, you know, he missed the first. He had to make the last two. He made the second. They're down one with 1.7 seconds to go. And he has to make that free throw. If he misses it, their season's over.
Yeah.
And he made it. You talk about pressure.
Oh, yeah.
And he made it, and they go to overtime, and Purdue wins. So Tennessee's really good. But Tennessee and Purdue missed a ton of free throws last night. But think about that. All the free throws they missed, and it still was 82-82 going into overtime. There were good defensive plays. There was great offensive plays by both teams. 99-94 was the final. Purdue moves on. Big Ten's having a nice tournament. We mentioned Texas Tech over Michigan, 63-44. And Virginia moves on in a close game, low scoring against Oregon. The matchups tonight... And by the way, yesterday Dusty went 2-2 in his picks. I went 1-3, so I don't even know why I bother. So tonight, and these to me are harder to pick than last night's. LSU and Michigan State, that's at 6:09 on CBS. LSU is very, very talented. Michigan State is really, really good and well coached. 6:09 CBS tonight. Who you picking?
Michigan State.
All right. Well, the three seeds so far have moved on last night. So just to be different, even though my bracket is Michigan State, just for fun, I'm going to not even think about this anymore. I'm going LSU because 2-3s made it last night.
I know your bracket doesn't have LSU.
No, I had them losing first round. So congrats, LSU. You're jinxed. You will lose tonight. And that helps my bracket. So see how I'm working? So LSU, Michigan State, I think it'll be a great game tonight at 6:09. The game I'm looking forward to watching the most, and this stinks because these are the two games I want to watch the most. And they're at the same time. At 6:29 tonight on TBS, Auburn and North Carolina. I tell you what, this could be one whale of a game. I think this could be a classic. If Auburn's making threes, Carolina can score the ball. Nassar Little may or may not play tonight for Carolina. That is a big loss if he doesn't play. So I've got Carolina winning, but I would not be surprised at all if Auburn wins this game tonight. And I'll probably even be cheering for Auburn at some point during this game if they're playing well. I just don't think they can shoot it as well as they did against Kansas. But Kansas' defense against three-point line is not great. Kansas is so young. Carolina is a more experienced team. They got more athletes that play above the rim. They're a deeper team. Although if Little doesn't play, I don't know. I'll go with North Carolina, but I tell you what, I'm very close to picking Auburn to win that ball game.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you lose a guy like Little. I mean, that's not going to help you, but I got Carolina winning the whole thing, so I'm going to stay riding on them here against Auburn.
I got Carolina winning the whole thing as well. Yeah. Nassar Little, it's not an injury, it's an illness. He has the flu, so he may or may not play. Yesterday, Roy Williams said if the game was yesterday, he said Little would not be able to play. So how effective he'll be, I don't know. You know, Marcus Garrett, he had the flu or something the day before the game. He was sick before KU played and missed practice and then got a lot of IVs and fluids. But you're still not the same player, usually. Trust me, I've played sick before, and it's not any fun. Not any fun at all.
You remember me?
So We're both picking Carolina. Virginia Tech and Duke tonight at 8:39 on CBS. To me, I think Duke survived their scare. I'm afraid they're going to win the whole thing. I really don't want to see that. I will be pulling for Virginia Tech big time tonight. Virginia Tech did beat Duke the last time they played, but Duke didn't have Zion Williamson in that game. Virginia Tech didn't have their point guard, Justin Robinson, either. I got Duke winning this game. I think it'd be really good. In the final 5 minutes, Duke will pull away and win.
And I got Duke as well. I would hate to play a team this early from my own conference.
This isn't even early. It's the Sweet 16. Yeah, Michigan State played Minnesota second round.
I know. But in the same case, though, it's like I wouldn't want to see any of those teams until, you know, it's crunch
Elite
time
eight.
Here, Elite Eight at least, because you just.
Well, but that's the problem when your conference is so good.
Yeah. I know that you know, they know each other, and Duke's a better team. They should win no matter who they're playing.
Yeah.
From their conference, as far as Virginia Tech is concerned. But I just, if I was Duke, I would not want to play this game. Virginia Tech, the pressure's not on them. So I don't mind playing that. I know the team, maybe I can get a win here and make it to the Elite Eight.
If I'm Duke, I'm thinking the other way. I'm thinking we lost them last time, and that was a fluke.
Yeah.
We got Zion back, and that'll keep them focused. Whereas if they cruise through Virginia Tech the first two times, your thinking.
Yeah.
But they lost last time. That'll give them all the attention in the world. And they just had their scare against Central Florida.
Yeah.
And they've heard the talk. Oh, is Duke vulnerable? And I could see them having a great performance tonight.
And I'm the same. I don't think Tech's going to beat them, but it's just like I want to play a variety of teams no matter what. And you don't get that chance when you play your same conference here this round.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
That's just me.
Whether it's Sweet 16, to me, a Sweet 16 is not a big deal. I mean, that can always happen because you have 64-team bracket and you have 6, 7, 8 teams for a conference. It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Bound to happen. I think the bad thing is if you play a conference team in the second round.
Yeah.
Like Michigan State, Minnesota did, but they had to. I think Duke is just going to absolutely play well tonight. I really do. Houston, Kentucky tonight. That's an interesting game, too. P.J. Washington may or may not play. And if he does, how effective will he be with a foot injury? And we've talked all about foot injuries with Dean Wade and other guys. And you're just not yourself. 8:57 late game on TBS tonight. Houston, I could see Houston winning this game. And there would be the 3-seed thing, right? So I'll stick with it. Why not? I'll change. Even though I got Kentucky in Elite Eight. Because the way I'm picking games, I'm tired of overanalyzing stuff. I'm going to take the 3-seeds. So I'm telling you, there are going to be 4 threes versus, 4 ones? Yeah, sure, why not? I'll take Houston to beat Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Kentucky.
I knew you would. Chalk, chalk, and chalk. Chalk, 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 chalk. All right, so those are the Sweet 16 matchups tonight. Kyler Murray, there's been a lot of talk about him being the number one pick in the NFL draft coming up in late April. Is that legit, or do you think this is all a smokescreen? I mean, he's what, 5'10"?
If
he's smaller than Baker, shorter than Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield, I do think there's some of the Baker Mayfield factor here, because Baker was number one over pick last year, and that surprised some. Browns knew well in advance that's who they wanted to pick. I know I've been much more on the Baker Mayfield bandwagon than you. I've loved Baker Mayfield when he played Oklahoma. Yeah, I know his antics, you know, rub people the wrong way. Trust me, I get it. But I would want him as my teammate, and I'd love to have him as my quarterback. He is so competitive. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He will fight for the extra yards. He'll put his shoulder down when he needs to. He has tremendous moxie. His teammates love him. I mean, they had him as team captain. His head coach loves him. He won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, Baker Mayfield, and the talk was, well, you know, he's kind of short. I'm like, oh, Russell Wilson's short. I mean, there's quarterbacks now that are short that can be. Drew Brees is short, okay? He's 6 foot, and look at his career. So I think we finally put that myth to bed a little bit. I think there have been guys in the past that are shorter that can play in this league, just simply weren't given the chance because that was the NFL's belief that you have to convert to a wide receiver or a tight end or whatever the case may be. Baker Mayfield, I'm not surprised at all the success he had last year. I think he's going to be a superstar. I said that when he was drafted. I didn't think it was a big deal that he was number one overall pick, and lots of people just freaked out. Well, Sam Darnold, he's bigger, he's stronger. Yeah, what did Sam Darnold win in college? Nothing. No. And he threw a lot of interceptions in college. I mean, Baker Mayfield's smart with the football, got good arm, he's got good speed, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, he doesn't force the ball a lot. I mean, it's all about, to me, accuracy and leadership. And Jamarcus Russell could throw the ball 88 yards, okay? How'd he turn out as a quarterback?
Not good.
Not good, but wow, he had a strong arm. Congratulations. If Patrick Mahomes can't throw the ball accurately, does he have the year he had last year just by having a gun?
No.
Of course not. So now the question is, all the national so-called experts and draft gurus who were wrong about Baker Mayfield and were wrong about Russell Wilson, although he was a third-round draft pick, and probably wrong about Drew Brees back when he came out, although he was a pretty good quarterback at Purdue. What about Kyler Murray? Because now all these draft gurus are suddenly just kicking it to the curb about being short. Now all of a sudden it doesn't matter. It went from being a big thing last year to mattering to now a year later not mattering much at all.
And he'll be the
first, and he's so much faster than Baker Mayfield.
He'll be the he'll be the highest quarterback picked under 6 foot ever.
Yes.
Like no matter where he lands.
Right.
Because people don't pick 5'10" quarterbacks. Who's the quarterback you can think of that's under 6 foot? And the only one I can think of right off the top of my head is Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, there was something I read, you know, under 6 foot just doesn't happen. And, you know, those are some of the things, but they're not.
The first one now is Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He's 5'11".
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the first one that pops in my head. And then if you're going back in time, Flutie's the next one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's done okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not a guy that's like, I mean, although the last couple of years, his numbers are pretty impressive.
And Kyler Murray's not 5'10 either, by the way. He's listed a little taller than what he actually is.
I think the combine, what did they list?
5'8 and 3/4 or something, wasn't it? Like
they list him at 5'10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did that at the combine? Or just that's, I know he's listed at 5'10.
He's listed at 5'10. I don't think he
was 5'10.
I thought he was 5'9 and 3/4. I think he was just under 5'10.
Yeah.
But you know, we're talking about quarter of inch. Is that really a big difference?
Well, no, they're gonna go up to 5'10 something like that on a measurement. But
right, but Baker Mayfield is taller. He's at 6'1".
6'1", yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. They're ripping Mayfield because he's not maybe tall enough. But yet you had Russell Wilson at 5'11", won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I just don't, and I think part of that was people didn't like some of Baker's antics, so they decided to come up with something to put him down with. But Baker proved last year, and now he's got Odell Beckham as another weapon. Now, whether or not, you know, his antics cause problems or they can't reel him in at Cleveland and he thinks he's bigger than thou at some point, I don't know. But, man, that guy's super talented, and I have never doubted for a second. And I said it many times. I would have taken Baker Mayfield over Alex Smith almost every day of the week, and so many different reasons why, other than he just didn't have the experience.
Yeah.
Because he's a smart quarterback. He's more athletic. People give him credit for. He's competitive. He's a tremendous leader. Kids, players, teammates, coaches, they want him on their team. Is Kyler Murray that way, though? Is Kyler Murray that competitive? I mean, does he have a chip on his shoulder? Is he a tremendous leader? Because I haven't heard that I haven't heard any complaints playing with Kyler Murray. I haven't. But I haven't heard those same type of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I know he has unbelievable speed.
Yeah,
but that's gonna be negated at some point during the NFL.
Oh yeah,
he's not gonna be able to just run rampant over everybody and tuck it and run, and you know, on 3rd and 13, you know, for Oklahoma, he could find a way to get a first down. That's not gonna happen. I mean, it'll happen, but it won't happen nearly as often. Obviously, in the pros, he's gonna have to be in the pocket more. And then bigger guys rushing him, can he see? And that's the knock on being short. Can you have the field of vision to see down the field and go vertical and throw the football?
Well, and that's when you work on, you know, your linemen work on different types of spacing and things like that. That's how Drew Brees has made a career in the NFL. You know, they help him, you know, and that's how you do that with those shorter guys. You got to help them. You got to help them see the field. And the coaches know that. They'll figure it out. As far as Murray being this, like having the same kind of motor or whatever, the same kind of characteristics that Baker Mayfield has, I don't think they do. I mean, I don't.
Not either.
They're two different guys, and they operate differently. Kyler Murray's not he's flamboyant when he's celebrating, but he's not flamboyant like just to be that way. That's not his – I don't think that's in his nature the way it is Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that extra chip over on this shoulder that says nobody's – if you doubt me at all, I'm coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't – you know, I think everybody has that a little bit, but it's obviously magnified with Baker Mayfield. Now, Kyler Murray – I think has a lot of the skills that are needed. He's got a bigger arm, I think, than people think. It's not a complete cannon or anything like that. But for his size, I mean, his arm strength is pretty impressive. When I watched him play last year, that's what it's all going to come down to is somebody willing to take a chance on a guy that's 5'10"? And that's
but be
all
the number one
to.
Overall pick. That's the crazy
part.
The
thing for me, though, is I don't think if this wasn't Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals making the pick, I wouldn't think at all that he'd be the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I haven't done enough research on the draft to know who I think would be the number one pick. But I think that plays a lot into it. Is Cliff saw him at Texas Tech when he was at Oklahoma, and I think that's going to make a little bit of a difference on how you scout a guy and, mm-hmm. and how much you actually understand, you know, what you actually saw with your own eyes. You don't have to have scouts that are telling you as a coach what you saw because you saw it. And so I think that's a big factor for me is with Kingsbury going to the Cardinals. I know they just picked Rosen last year, but, it's like he might feel this is a better fit for his system that he wants to run in the NFL. I don't know, but I think that plays a lot into it.
Well, Murray would be a better fit than Josh Rosen.
Without question, yeah.
The NFL draft is April 25th, 26th, 27th, so it's less than a month away. And this is why I ask, is it legit? Is it legit that Kyler Murray could be the number one pick in the NFL draft? And I think everybody's connecting the dots very quickly and saying, well, because of what you just said. Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach, and Murray would fit his system. And Kingsbury said before he was head coach Arizona, if I had the number one pick, I'd take Kyler Murray. And they replay that cut over and over. Do you remember what all the national media people were saying about what the Browns were going to do last year at this time? You remember who they said that
Donald.
The Browns are going to pick? They said it's going to be either Sam Darnold, and then later on, Josh Allen's really come on.
Allen, yeah.
Baker Mayfield wasn't even mentioned.
No.
Mike Mayock, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, Mel Kiper, Matt Miller, Charles Davis, Peter Schrager, Peter King, Todd McShay, and others never mentioned Baker Mayfield's number one overall pick. Then Baker gets drafted, and I remember watching this. Mel Kiper goes, well, it's no surprise here. The Browns have been really interested in Mayfield for a while. You're so full of crud.
Yeah.
So you just kept that quiet and didn't tell everybody? In your business, you're supposed to break that news that they want Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Did they pay you to be quiet? You acted like, oh, yeah, we knew this all along. No, you didn't. So right now, everybody seems to think that they know everything and that Kyler Murray is going to the Cardinals. What happens on draft day when the Cardinals trade out of that pick?
Exactly.
I mean, I'll tell you a team that I think should go after Kyler Murray, or maybe not should, but I think might. That's a sleeper in this whole thing, and I hope to goodness it doesn't happen because I do worry about Kyler Murray, what he can do in the league. I do think he could be a really good pro quarterback. I'm happy with I'm more than happy as a Chiefs fan to see the Cardinals take Kyler Murray number one. The Raiders have all kinds of firepower to trade up and get number one pick and get Kyler Murray. They got 3 first-round draft picks. If they Derek Carr, they're not exactly infatuated with. They've got Antonio Brown now. They could have Carr for 1 year, and they could have Kyler Murray be the understudy. And then, you know, if things don't go well, put him in the lineup just like Baker Mayfield for Cleveland last year. And I could see the Raiders making a push to try to get Kyler Murray. I could definitely see that. And if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm not saying Kyler Murray is going to be a superstar, but I could just see him running and converting 3rd and 12s against the Chiefs defense. Of course, I'm thinking of a defense that hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
Maybe the Chiefs will get a lot better defensively. But I would much rather Kyler Murray be drafted by anybody else, especially in the NFC. Go to the Arizona Cardinals. That's great. But the talk last year was all about the Browns. It's going to be a quarterback. We know it's going to be a quarterback. And they really love Darnold, and they really love Allen. And there was no talk of Mayfield. And then we found out John Dorsey said, we made a decision 2 months before the draft. This is our guy.
Yeah.
I said, what about the Cardinals? Is this all, and trust me, you can't believe everything comes out of Arizona. The Cardinals can leak out information to make it sound like this is who they want when it's a smokescreen, and they're not even interested in Kyler Murray. And if there's other teams that are really cuckoo and for Cocoa Puffs about Kyler Murphy and all gaga and googly-eyed because of what he does in the combine, his speed, his arm strength, and they're really infatuated with Kyler Murray, isn't it smart for the Cardinals to say, yeah, that's the guy that we want?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Or would they be smarter to say, well, we don't know, so then teams would be more open to approaching them about a trade? Because they have the number one overall pick. Here's the thing. They don't have to. They have the number one overall pick. So there's nobody who's going to pick ahead of them. You know, if they were the 2 or the 3 pick, I could see how they would play this a certain way where, hey, we're kind of open to trading out of this pick. Or we're really open to, we really like this guy. You're the number one overall pick. Nobody's going to trade above you. I mean, if Kyler Murray's your guy, Kyler Murray's your guy. But the Browns made it a big secret for a long time. And why did they do that? Because I think they were waiting to see if somebody really loved Josh Darnold or Josh Allen or Sam Darnold and Josh Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, that they put it out there they really liked them, so that somebody would maybe say, well, hey, they like both quarterbacks. Maybe we can trade up there and get one, and the Browns are happy with the other one. But if you're number one overall pick and you're saying, this is the guy that I want, and you're leaking it out there, are you really that likely to trade up to get the guy when you think that that's the guy they want all along? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, to me, if you're number one overall pick and you weren't really sure what you wanted to do and you want to keep all your options open, I think you'd be saying, and maybe the Cardinals are, and I'm just reading the national media headlines, I think I'd be like, yeah, we like Kyler Murray, but there's a lot of other guys we really like at this, yeah, at this slot. But right now, all the media is just like, eh, you know, it's Kyler Murray to the Cardinals. What happens if the Cardinals don't take Kyler Murray? How far would he slide?
I
bet he doesn't get out of the top 10.
That, but
I bet he doesn't get out of the top 10.
I think your question is it legit that he could be the number one pick?
I think
we start this with that. I think it very is very much legit.
Do you think if the Cardinals traded out of it, do you think he's a legit number one pick?
A better chance he's a number one pick if the Cardinals trade out
because
of it.
Because somebody's going
to trade up to one for who else? I mean, who else?
Maybe there's somebody else somebody wants.
You know, I haven't looked at the boards or anything like that, but typically, you're not going to trade up to the number one pick to draft a defensive end,
right,
or something like that. Most people that are going to trade that much
of quarterback.
What it would take of their future are going to draft a quarterback. So
this
I think
it's not a great quarterback draft.
It's not, and I'm pretty confident Kyler Murray will be the first quarterback picked.
Yeah.
So if that's what you're doing, so that's another reason I think why the Cardinals would say right now we're interested in Kyler Murray, so they can trade that pick because somebody else might be interested in Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be like, oh, well, you're taking him at one. I got to trade to one or else I'm not going to get him.
Yeah, right.
And so you don't do that with Baker Mayfield because if that's your guy for 2 months, then you play the game and say, I might take Josh Allen. I might take Sam Darnold. I might take Josh Rosen. I know he wasn't a possibility there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you don't say you're picking Baker, because that's who you want. And that's
who
you're taking, no
matter
what.
Really, really wanting one of those other guys would trade with you. You could slide to third, second pick, and you take Baker.
Yeah.
He's your guy.
Yeah. So you know this is who I want, and I'm going out and getting them. So you don't put that out publicly or whatever and try to you try to make other teams work for it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a situation where I don't really like this number one pick. I'm going to pick Kyler Murray with it, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's not probably not who I really want, but that's where I'm leaning.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just using an example. The Lions, Matt Stafford is getting old. The mm-hmm. Lions say, well, hey, we want Kyler Murray, too. Maybe we can strike a deal with the Cardinals here, and they'll be willing to say, no, we don't want him. We'll pick somebody else. So I think that's not a bad strategy if you actually are trying to get rid of that pick and somebody else might want Kyler Murray, to say we're going to pick him, even if we, you know, it all depends on whether you can convince him that you actually want him or not.
I think it's kind of a catch-22.
I think there's a legit chance for him to be the number one pick, no question.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it could very well be somebody else. Because
yeah.
I think the Cardinals could put it out there, they want Kyler Murray, and this and that, and then somebody makes an offer, and the Cardinals slide down and take more draft picks. Here's the order. Cardinals are number one, okay? They have Josh Rosen, but that's not Kingsbury's guy. San Francisco has Jimmy Garoppolo coming off a torn ACL. They're paying him a ton of money, so the Niners don't need a quarterback. The Jets just drafted and invested in Sam Darnold. They're not taking a quarterback at three, and there's where Oakland falls. Oakland's a four. They're in the fourth slot already. So all they'd have to do, they could give two first-round draft picks. They could probably give one this year and one next year, because Oakland has also the 27th pick. I thought they had three picks in the first round. Yeah, they do, 24 and 27. The Raiders could give the 24th and 27th pick and then probably another pick or maybe a first-round pick next year, and it sounds like a lot to move up three spots, but that's the premium. The Raiders they definitely have the assets to trade up from 4 to 1 and get Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And they really could.
So you swap and then give up your other two.
And you give your other two.
Do you give up your first round for Kyler Murray? Three picks for Kyler Murray.
Well, I'm just saying that might be what the Cardinals want.
Yeah.
Or the Raiders simply, they swap the pick and then they give them one of their later first round picks, 24 or 27.
I think that would get the job done, obviously.
I think so, too.
If you swapped and gave them 24, I think.
If I'm the Cardinals, I get four and 24 for one, and I only go down three spots.
Yeah.
And I got maybe I like Josh Rosen, so I got my quarterback, so I don't need to deal with a quarterback at four if I trade down with Oakland. I worry that the Raiders are going to trade up and get Kyler Murray, and I don't want him in the Chiefs division. I just don't. Tampa Bay is a fifth pick. They're an interesting situation. Jameis Winston has been disappointing. They have a new head coach in Bruce Arians. You know, with the Bucks, if Kyler Murray's there at five, or the Cardinals trade out, although you think if you trade it out, whoever trades with them is going to take Kyler Murray, but we don't know. The Giants definitely use a quarterback. There's a team that could make a move and try to trade up to get Kyler Murray if they really like him.
Yeah.
That'd be the Giants. Jacksonville, they just signed Nick Foles to a big deal, but you know, I don't think they, you know, if Kyler Murray fell in their lap, I don't think they would be opposed to drafting him. And then the Lions, you said, Matthew Stafford, he got a lot of money invested in him. He's not old yet, but he is, you know, older with each and every year. The Bills have Josh Allen, and Kyler Murray's not going to slide to 10 to the Broncos. And at that, oh, God, I really don't want to see that happen. But the Broncos got their man that's going to just now hit entering his prime in Joe Flacco.
Exactly.
John Elway said they're at the set. Age of 34. So they're set. And then you got the Bengals at 11, Andy Dalton. I don't think they're going to go with a quarterback, at least not that early. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, no. The Dolphins definitely need a quarterback at 13. I don't know. Dolphins have to give up a lot to move all the way to 1 from 13. But we know what the Chiefs did. The Chiefs, and it was the, I felt good about it. We talked about it. We thought, you know, I think you're a little bit more conservative with it. I love the fact that Chiefs traded up and moved up all those spots, 17 spots, to get a quarterback because they just never done it since 83, and I was all for it. But, you know, they did give up a lot. But when you think about it and you know what you have now, really it wasn't that much at all they gave up. It really wasn't.
No.
They didn't have to give up, like, 3 first-round picks. They didn't.
Based on how that worked out here the last season, you're...
It was a steal.
If anybody has any qualms at all with what happened in that draft anymore, then... I can't help you even
no.
a little bit.
No.
Listen, I wanted Deshaun Watson. I'll say it publicly again. Uh-huh. I thought they were trading up to 10 to take Deshaun Watson.
I think a lot of people thought that.
And they picked Patrick Mahomes, and I fell into that trap of, well, he's making these throws against K-State safeties, mm-hmm. not NFL safeties, you yep. know, against those kind of safeties. And you can't short them in the NFL. And
thank
obviously
God.
He made that extra step and did everything he needed to do, and a God-given ability got him where he needed to start, and then obviously he continued to work at it. And so, yeah, if you have any issues with that now, with any part of that trade, as a Chiefs fan, I
can't help you.
I'm out. You're out.
Deshaun Watson was the safe pick.
Yeah.
He was the safer pick. But I like the fact that all the upside with Mahomes. I never dreamt he'd do what he did last year. But, you know, I did feel that when they gave the keys to Mahomes, he was going to have a better year than a lot of people thought. But nobody would have dreamt he would do what he did last year. And now you got a guy, if he stays healthy, he's your quarterback for the next 10 to 15 seasons.
Yeah.
And you really go back and look at what you gave up. You didn't give up a lot.
No.
And if you're the Bills,
not
and
for that kind
you're
of
the
talent.
Fans of the Buffalo Bills, you're like, if we stayed there, we could have Patrick Mahomes. And I told you the story. The Saints were the 11th pick, I think.
Yeah.
And the Saints were going to take Mahomes if they're either 11 or 13 or whatever it was. That the Saints were going to take Mahomes if he landed in their spot. And then the Chiefs jumped all the way over the Saints and 16 other teams and went and grabbed their guy. And I've said this for a long, long time. And yeah, sometimes it blows up in your face, but I'd rather a team take a chance and go find the guy that they're convinced is the guy than sit back and let somebody else get your guy because, well, you know, I hate to give up a first-round pick and a third-round pick and another third-round pick to move up that many spots or whatever it was that you gave up for Mahomes, because there's not like tons of Hall of Famers that get drafted in the third and fourth round. I mean, there are some, but man, the premium talent is in the first round. It's in the first 10 or 15 picks. That's why it's a draft. That's why teams trade a lot and try to move up and give up a lot to find the guy you want. And the Chiefs identified the guy, and they're smarter than Dusty, and they're smarter than me, and smarter than a lot of us who would have been taking the safe pick. Or wouldn't have traded up at all. And that's what the Chiefs have done for so many years. There was probably guys they liked. They didn't have the guts to trade up.
Usually traded out of their spot.
They traded out of their spot. And instead, they were all in, went for it. I mean, they had Alex Smith, for crying out loud, who was a good quarterback for them. They didn't have to go draft Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Alex Smith wasn't 38. And it was brilliant. It was brilliant. And even if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt next year and he's done for the rest of his career, it still was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Still was brilliant. And if Andy Reid would have actually, you know, changed his defensive coordinator, we might be talking about the Chiefs as Super Bowl champions today. But we're not. So there you have it. Interesting story from the NBA. The Golden State Warriors, can they have a little more drama? Did you hear about this? Jordan Bell, he played for Oregon, by the way, mysterious suspension. He was suspended on Wednesday, but now there are some details that are coming out about why he was suspended for the NBA game on Wednesday. Jordan Bell was officially suspended for the game. It was coined conduct detrimental to the team. You have any idea what he may have done to get suspended for the game?
I don't. It's probably something not really normal, I would guess.
Well, it's not, or I wouldn't bring this
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Jordan Bell was charging incidentals in the team hotel to his assistant coach, Mike Brown.
Okay.
Well, it's not known what he was buying. The internet has some guesses. Yeah, and apparently it's not the first time he's done it.
Wow.
That seems something childish but kind of funny if you did it one time. You know, oh, I charged a couple drinks to coach, and he doesn't even know it. He signed out on that. Warriors caught on, and they suspended him for a game the other night. So Jordan Bell maybe not completely maturing as a player, and his playing time has been going down a little bit lately, and he didn't play the other night. I don't think I've seen a player in the pros get suspended for that reasoning. But, you know, weird things happen.
Hitting the mini bar and putting this on.
Yeah.
I was told the name of the movie would not appear on the bill.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. You told me that would just be a price. Nobody was going to look at it. But when the title's in all caps, that gives it away. That was no good. So maybe an early April Fool's prank that went awry for Jordan Bell. I don't know, but he was suspended. I'm guessing he still got paid. It's like, if you get suspended with pay, is it that big a deal?
No, it's a break.
Yes, you get a break,
like,
and you get
management,
paid.
You know, like,
yeah.
Sitting
it's
out
load
for load management reasons. Well, you're still getting paid, aren't you?
He's not playing because he charged incidentals to the assistant coach, or otherwise known as load management reasons. Okay, whatever you want to call it. Thanks for tuning in to Sports Ticket. Enjoy the Sweet 16 matchups tonight. They should be fun. I'm looking forward to them. Would love to have KU and K-State in those. But that's not the case. Wichita State will be in the NIT semifinals coming up on Tuesday night against Lipscomb. And they got a favorable job because then they'll play either Texas or TCU. Should we just call it now and say the Shockers are going to win NIT and be the 69th best team in America?
Yeah.
All right. As good as gold. The way we've been picking things, you know they're going to lose Tuesday night now.